Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks, and yes, I am live today on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And this is December 5th, 2023, and I am back and so glad to be back. It was, I was just telling Jay, I love going on vacation. I love to see the ocean at least once a year, and that's what I usually do. I go with family, and we go someplace with ocean, usually Hawaii. But I was actually anxious to come back this time, and that's never happened. But maybe it's just I really wanted to get back to the astrology and the metaphysics and to my clients and to lots of stuff in my life. And, of course, my little Tucker. I so miss my little dog, and that's funny because – I mean, I've always missed my dogs when I go on vacation, but for some reason, he's really in my heart, and it was kind of hard to be without him. And maybe that was just because, you know, that was like one of the first times I've ever been without him. But in any case, I am back today and so glad to be. And I hope that you did hear the shows that played while I was gone. Mark Hessen did one of those shows live, and that was on the 21st of November. So if you missed that, it is in the archives. It's in the on-demand section of 12radio.com. And when you go there, just, you know, look for my name and then go to the 21st and you'll find that live show by Mark Hessen. And also we did some encores and some encores that I thought maybe you had missed because those were things like one of them was a Halloween show. But we did astrology. We did astrology of Hitchcock's chart. And then I also did a replay of a show that I had done with Jay. I was, you know, on his show, Backstage Pass, and so with Raven. So in any case, if you missed that too, I think all of those are in the archives. But anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for kind of holding down the fort, you know, keeping the ship running and whatever. But I am back, and one of the things that I had said in the Power Peak this week, you know, when I write the article about the week ahead and what's happening, it said, yeah, we're going to dive into Venus and Scorpio because Venus moved into Scorpio yesterday, which was Monday, December 4th. However, once I got my notes out and I kind of got my feet back on the ground, so to speak, I realized we had been doing that really deep dive on the moon, you know, specifically looking at the natal moon in your charts and saying, how do we feed our moons? How do we understand ourselves in perspective of the moon? And so I looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, you know, we quit at Scorpio. We haven't done the last four signs. So if you're one of those people who has a moon in the last four signs, or you just want to hear about it, that is what we're going to talk about today after we do a quick review of the cosmic dance for this week. So this is December 5th, and so looking at the week of December 4th, the first thing was Venus moving into Scorpio, and that, you know, that's a big deal. And, I mean, you know, she changes signs every 3-4 weeks, that sort of thing, but it's always important, and I think this particular one does catch my eye a little bit because we also have Mercury starting a retrograde. Now, that's going to be on the 12th. That's going to be the next new moon. Now, even though we'll be able to talk about that next week, I wanted you to be aware of that because that too, a new moon with Mercury moving retrograde the same day, well, that's important. And having Venus having gone into very introspective Scorpio is also important because that's kind of what we've got for the end of the year. As we move into these last few weeks of 2023, we have this introspective feeling going on. And if you were listening, by the way, Neptune also moves direct this week. You know, it has been retrograde since what? The end of June, I believe. So Neptune, the planet of, you know, spirituality, the planet of non-material existence. You know, when we say that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, well, Neptune is very aligned with that spiritual being that is acting out a role maybe in the world. But, you know, everything, you know, when we talk about metaphysics, when we talk about spirituality, when we talk about all those ways that we connect that don't feel physical, they go beyond the walls, so to speak. That's Neptune. And now Neptune is going to be moving direct. So we may see kind of a difference in our psychic abilities. Maybe they feel more directed. Maybe they feel more obvious to us. Maybe we feel like we're more into our intuition. Now, Neptune hasn't gone direct. That's going to be on Wednesday. But in effect, it's kind of sitting still, just sitting still right there at the end, towards the end of Pisces. And I'm not sure I'm going to say this is a demonstration of it, but this is what I'm talking about when I talk about Neptune. And I think this is funny. It's synchronicity. And I have it with a lot of people, but especially I have it with Kat. And it was funny because, you know, I was sitting here very late last night debating, you know, I wanted to go through these moons, and we are going to go through the moons, but I thought, oh, you know, I had all this stuff I wanted to talk about today. And one of the things I really wanted to talk about was the fact that when I do a reading for the week ahead, which is what I do, I use, you know, anywhere between 8 and 10 card decks. And some of those are tarot, most of those are tarot, and maybe 1 or 2 oracle decks. But in this case, I used 8 different decks, and they were tarot. And the card, the 4 of cups, came up 3 times. Now, I want you to know that's a lot. Now, I often see a card come up twice, but this card came up 3 times, along with a number of other 4s came up. And I thought, okay, I need to pay attention to this. This is a trend. And so, and I thought, you know, I just don't want to do a radio show without at least mentioning that. Because now there again, if you do tarot, if you have some understanding of that, then I'd say, you know, explore that for yourself. But literally, I had the 4 of wands, the 4 of pentacles, you know, all those 4s came up, 4 of swords. So I thought, okay, we got a major 4 thing going on this week that we need to think about and pay attention to. But the 4 of cups in particular, what I think of when I see that, and I'm going to explain it a little bit. First of all, the cups have to do with emotion, you know, our feelings. And so, you know, are we happy? Are we sad? Are we disappointed? You know, where are we on the spectrum of emotional expression? Goes well with our topic this week, right? But with the 4 of cups, what you'll often find, and I'll describe some of the pictures on the cards. Like in one of my decks, there's a woman sitting at a desk with a laptop. And, you know, you can tell that, you know, she's got her cell phone to her ear. She's looking at the laptop. You know, her desk is busy. But the one thing, because she's got the laptop open, she has this beautiful cup. And in fact, it has a Christmas, you know, decor on it, some kind of, you know, Christmas tree. But it's sitting behind the laptop. And you can see that there's this wonderful kind of deliciousness kind of emanating from this cup. You know, some kind of, is this a cup of good cheer? Is this a cup of coffee? What is this? You know, her favorite tea. But in any case, she can't even see it because it is blocked by the laptop. Now, granted, I'm not saying she doesn't know that it's there, but that's one of the images. Other times you'll see a person, like maybe even sitting at a table, sitting at a bar, and there's all these cups overturned. Specifically, usually there's 3 cups. And then somewhere off in the distance, you see a 4th cup. And sometimes it's shining. Sometimes it looks like a gold chalice. You know, all different kinds of images for it. But the idea is that when we're so tied up looking at the present, or so, and not that we shouldn't be looking at the present, but it's more if we're looking at the past, if all of our emotions are tied up into the past. And like, for instance, another word I love to use with this card is ennui. The French word of, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of bored. I'm just not that excited. You know, I'm not really depressed. There's not really anything going on, but there's nothing that's exciting me at this moment. So this is not a card necessarily that says we're depressed, but it says, you know what? We're just not looking at the future. We're just kind of sitting there. Or, you know, we're just all caught up in these memories of the past. So I'm sitting here last night going, you know what? I really think we need to talk about this 4 of cups and just that idea of, you know, are we really missing our future? Are we missing our opportunities because we're just not open? You know, we're not opening the door. We're not available. We're not making ourselves available to the future and to some of the opportunities that we have. So I wrote in my notes, maybe we should talk about that. You know, an analogy that I like is, are we looking in the rearview mirror instead of moving forward? Now, that being said, I'm very aware that Venus is moving into introspective Scorpio. I'm very aware that Mercury is going to be moving retro, which means inwards. So I'm not saying that it's never appropriate to do that. But when we do it at the expense of just kind of sitting there and going, yeah, you know, whatever, and we don't come out of that funk, you know, we don't come out of that vision, we're not looking at the future, then here comes the Four of Cups going, you know what, there's a lot to be happy about, a lot to be content about, but even more than that, there's a lot of opportunities. And if you're looking down, which, by the way, in the Four of Cups, often if there's a person, they're always looking down. They're not looking up. And so if you're always looking down, if you're always looking back, and you can't quite make yourself look in another direction or look forward, then you know that shiny cup, that cup of good cheer, that wonderful thing that's kind of out there for you, you know, it's like a comet going across the sky. And you're not going to see it if you're not looking. So the message isn't don't be introspective. It's not that you shouldn't do those kind of things. You know, of course we do those things. And we don't just deny when something has gone on in our lives either. But we also don't want to do it at the expense of just not looking forward. So there again, if you find yourself this week, you're just kind of going, yeah, just kind of bored, just kind of, I don't know where I want to go. All right, then you know what? Think about that, or at least just remember the Four of Cups. But for those of you, I mean, I'm sure most of you did hear Cat Show. What was funny, and this is where the synchronicity comes in, especially with Neptune. I'm listening to her show after having, like I said, I prepared mine last night. I put that in my notes, and I'm listening to Cat Show today, and she's talking to somebody, and she's describing exactly that. And then she even says, you know, are we looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking through the windshield? And I thought, oh my God. In fact, I went immediately to the chat room, and I just had to post that. Because that's the synchronicity. But that also tells me, see, we are on the same page. There is an energy out there that a lot of us are sharing or that we can tap into together. So, you know, in many, many ways, we are never alone. We are always in this collective group. And it's just a choice to tap in. And so if that's a message for you, I'm delighted. And if it's not, you can go, okay, no, I'm really excited. I got all these wonderful things going on in my life. You know, what is she talking about? Whatever. But anyway, thank you very much for being here today and for letting me go off on that and just that little, like I said, moment of synchronicity, especially with Kat this morning. So I also do want to call out all those people who are in the chat room today, to Renee and Tara. Thank you for coming here. And Alishea, and also to Leslie and James. Hey, it's always good to see you. And Anne and K-Dragon. Hey, Kay, I hope things are going well for you. We've been going back and forth about some things going on in her life. So, yeah, thank you. And everybody, thanks for coming to the show and listening today. And, yes, we are going to move forward. So let's start talking about those moons. So when we talk about feeding your moon, and I just think there's, like, so much we can learn and understand about ourselves when we think about that moon. Because the sun's important. It's our identity, but the moon is how we express our feelings. And so for a big part of that, that's a lot of times what people think of us. You know, in fact, sometimes if somebody's trying to guess something about you, they may not guess your sun sign. They may guess your moon sign, because emotions tend to stick with us. We have a feeling about somebody. So everybody has feelings. We're happy, we're sad, we're bored, whatever it is. But we show those emotions differently. And the way we express those emotions is based on the moon in our chart. And we discussed the idea you might want to look at your moon not only by the sign, but is it a cardinal? Is it an assertive moon? Is it a fixed moon like Scorpio or Aquarius? You know, what is the modality? What is the element? You know, is it fire? Is it moving really quickly? Yeah, you know, I explode and then I'm over it. So we can look at the element, we can look at the modality, we can also look at the house where it's happening. Because there again, if somebody has a moon in a house that isn't very public, like for instance, the 4th and the 8th and the 12th houses, they're not very public. That's where we're a little more private. So if we have a moon there, somebody may even describe you and say, oh, they're not emotional at all. I don't even, in fact, the mistake though is always, or is in thinking that somebody doesn't have feelings because they don't show them. That doesn't mean they don't have feelings. It means they're not expressing them. So really think about that. I mean, and I've heard that so often, you know, someone described as not having feelings. Just not true. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some probably sociopathic people. I'm not saying that. I know that, you know, there can be psychological issues where people are really unable to empathize with others, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're just talking about the choice. And you know, some moons, they're going to keep their feelings to themselves. They're going to be a little more private. But when we look at where the moon is, like if that moon is very public, like let's say it's in the first house. Here I am, world. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Here I am. Or if it's in the 10th house. Well, the 10th house is career, and it's also kind of a crystallized image that we want to put out there for people. It's our reputation. So, you know, a moon in the 10th house, people are likely to see that one. So there's lots of places where we see it. Or in the 7th house, maybe that's where people that you're intimately involved with or people that you partner with, whether it's business or personal. Those people may see you as being very emotional because the moon is in the 7th house. So see, it really depends on where it's at. So that's another dimension to look at. Not just do you have an Aquarian moon or a Pisces moon, but where do you explore those emotions? Where do you show them? That's the house. The fourth thing I always look at is what is the relationship to the other planets? Now, if we have enough time, that's one thing I want to kind of dive into towards the end of the show, because see, that can really, really change. You know, if you've got that moon all sitting by itself, well, it's kind of doing its own thing. But then couple that with another planet or several other planets. You know, what is the relationship going on there? So that is another dimension that if you want to, you don't have to look at it, you know, but if that's something else you want to kind of peel back another layer, you can do that by looking at the relationships to the moon in your chart, because it's the same thing. We all know this. Like if I go shopping by myself, I may be one person, but if I go shopping with my sister, I'm somebody else. Right? It may be a whole nother approach. Or if we go out to dinner or if we're in a conversation, it's very different if we're with somebody else. And is that other person supportive or are they critical of us? You might all of a sudden find somebody totally shutting down. What if Saturn is involved? You know, Saturn makes us responsible, but also it can be critical. So maybe if Saturn is anywhere near our moon or if Saturn is in relationship to our moon, you know, in a positive relationship, it might make us feel like a real authority. It may make us feel like I have every right to my emotions, whereas in other situations, we may completely shut down. So see, that's another level. You may look at that moon and say, oh, well, she said an Aries moon is totally expressive. And then all of a sudden you see Saturn there. So there's other reasons why, you know, or there's other conditions about why our moons will, you know, just be the way they are, why we express our emotions. So I hope that we can get to that. And if we don't, we'll try to do that in another show. But let's dive into, we left off with Scorpio. And by the way, if you did not hear those other shows on the moon, I think it was October 31st when we did the introduction and we went Aries through Taurus. Then on the 7th of November, I think is when we went Gemini through Scorpio. So those are in the archives, which is the on-demand section of 12radio.com. Just go there, look for my name, and then find those dates, and then you can hear those shows too. Okay, so let's look at Sagittarius. So if you have a moon in Sagittarius or in the 9th house, because Sag rules the ninth house. So once again, sometimes you'll hear an astrologer or somebody else say, hey, I'm an honorary Sagittarian. Well, they may mean that they've got a planet in a Sagittarian house. That could be what they mean. And oftentimes it is. So in this case, if somebody says, hey, you know, I don't have a Sag moon, but I've got an honorary Sag moon, maybe they're telling you that it's in the ninth house of the chart, because see, there again, it flavors it. So what is Sagittarius? It's fire. It's enthusiasm, and it's an adventurer. This is also a mutable sign. Now, the mutable signs are the ones that are changeable. They, you know, they're at the very end of a season. And so they've got a foot kind of in both sides. And so they're usually flexible, they're changeable, they're adventurous, they're off looking for things. And so here's Sagittarius, you know, the centaur, a seeker of truth. You know, one thing about Sag, though, they want to be right. They're the philosopher. They're gathering all this information. They're putting it into patterns. So what you find Sagittarius is related to philosophy and religion. So what does Sagittarius do? In Raven Caldera's terminology, he says they dance toward and away from the truth, because they're gathering all this information. And so if you've got that kind of a moon, once you learn something or once you're into something, you may be adamant about it. It's like, this is the way it is. But then guess what? Maybe you find out something else. Something else is revealed to you, or you get a little older, you have more experiences. And then it's different. It's, you know, you've changed, you've adapted. And so now you're adamant about something else. So a moon in Sagittarius is usually very eager and curious. They want to learn something new. They love to travel. Now, when I say that, sometimes, you know, I've seen some people's charts where I go, ooh, I can't see this. Like, why do they travel? Why do they not travel? But there's a variety of reasons for that. So once again, you may be saying, hey, I have my moon in the ninth house and I don't like to travel at all. But I'd say, but you know what? I'll bet you love to read. I'll bet you love to learn a language, or you love to read books about other countries or other cultures. You like to dive into spirituality or religious, you know, practices, that sort of thing. So traveling can be of the mind. It can be of the heart and not just physical. So these moons in Sagittarius, they love to expose themselves to new information. You know, like I said, they're very curious. So if you have a moon in Sagittarius, you want to learn something new. And so are you listening to a podcast? Are you going to a workshop? Maybe you're reading a book. Maybe you're writing a book. These people love to share information. Whatever inspires them, they want to share it with other people. They want to get outside of themselves. Maybe they're learning to cook ethnic food. Maybe they're just checking out all the restaurants. Maybe they're writing a blog about food. But they are gatherers of information, and then they love to put it in patterns. The Sagittarius is also very aligned with alternative medicine and healing modalities. So there again, that may be something that really catches your eye, or something that you're very intrigued about. But also, when we look at that ninth house, it's about learning and teaching, adventure and travel, higher education. It's about theater and performance as well. It's also about the legal system. And the legal system, because once again, groups and societies form rules, they form patterns, right? And then they make rules about how they're going to all live together. So the legal system is also ruled by Sagittarius and the ninth house. So there again, maybe that's something that you're into, and that's where we see the expression of a moon in Sagittarius or the moon in the ninth house. Okay, let's move on to the moon in Capricorn, or the 10th house. Now, this moon is ruled by Saturn. And by the way, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, the planet of expansion. But now we're in Capricorn. Capricorn is Saturn. It's work. It's being productive. It's having a purpose in life. So once again, we're talking about if you have a moon in Capricorn, and or if you have a moon in the 10th house. And I know somebody, I think it was Lori, who posted in chat room a few weeks ago that she has her moon in the 10th house. So this is cardinal energy. Cardinal energy, they're assertive, sometimes even aggressive. But it's assertive because this is the energy that brings in a new season. This is the beginning of winter. It's an earth sign, so it's grounded. And Raymond Caldera says, it's the destiny of every sign to reach maturity. Capricorn's destiny is to embody it. And I like that because that's it. Those Capricorns, you know, here again, if somebody's born as a Capricorn sun or moon, you know, it's like they're serious little kids. You know, they know that they have a purpose. And if they don't know what it is, they're going to keep seeking it. Because Capricorn is about being self-sufficient. It's about respect and work and self-confidence, setting a goal and moving towards it, and creating a safe place for yourself. Not waiting around for somebody else to take care of you or to come along and make the world safe for you. You want to do it yourself. You know, if you have a moon in Capricorn of the 10th house, you want to accomplish something that you think is important. You want to master something. And here's another thing. You don't want to give yourself away. You want people to recognize the value of what you have. So usually these are people, you know, when you think about it, sometimes people will say, oh yeah, I'll do that for you for free. Not usually with a Capricorn moon, because they're saying, I value this. I want you to value this. I want a fair exchange for my productivity, for my efforts, for the energy that I put into something. And if you find that there's other things in the chart and you do give yourself away, and you've got that Capricorn moon, okay, you need to rethink that, because that Capricorn moon says, no, I respect myself when other people respect me and vice versa. You know, it's very much about building the self-confidence and knowing that you're a person of significance, that you're valuable in the world. So, and also remember Capricorn, the word responsibility just goes hand in hand with Capricorn. So, if you are doing something and you're just not in integrity, you're not being honest, you're not being responsible, that's an issue for a moon in Capricorn. They, you know, they care about their reputation. They care about approval. And mostly it has to be their own. You know, they need to approve of themselves. They have to feel good about themselves and their talents. They need to feel like an expert at something. So there again, if you have a moon in the 10th house or in Capricorn, you know, think about what you're passionate about and become an expert, because that really feeds that particular moon. Now, another thing that Raven Caldera wrote that just really hit me about Capricorn moons is that they're the ones who can help everyday people become heroes. And I thought that was interesting, because these are, in many ways, management. They're leaders. They're the people. They're the CEOs. But it's not just about assisting other people. It's about mentoring them and helping them become a hero, helping them become an expert in their own right. So Capricorn isn't just going to give you a handout. They're going to show you how to do it. Now, Capricorn moons also, one of the things they're learning in this lifetime is the power of money. You know, how to deal with resources, but also just how to deal with power in general, how to assert themselves and recognize the difference between money and power, and recognize that money doesn't give you the power. It's self-confidence and something within yourself. Capricorn moons love to surpass limits. You know, they liked, you know, there again, they're climbing that mountain. That's one of their characteristics, you know. They're that mountain goat, and they're climbing and climbing. They love to set a challenge, and they love to do things without help. Now, once again, that doesn't mean that they're not part of a couple. It doesn't mean that you can never help them. But Capricorn says, I need to be self-sufficient. I need to know that I can do it on my own. And so that's why you see sometimes those Capricorn moons, they can be what we consider cautious or very reticent, or they're into themselves and you're like, why won't they let me help them, or why won't they just open up? Well, part of it is because they've got to be convinced that they are self-sufficient, that they're not dependent on other people. They don't feel good when they're dependent. They need to know that they're the mountain goat climbing that mountain. They need to know that they can do it. So they're not going to depend on help. They're not going to depend on being lucky. You know, that they're not looking for luck. They're looking for the opportunity to prove themselves. And remember, the 10th house is reputation. It's work and career. It's what we're known for. So if you have a moon in the 10th house, you know, those are usually people that they're not going to just go, oh, I hope I win a lot of money and never have to work. They're not going to feel good. That's not what they're going to feel good about. Now, if they win a lot of money, they're probably going to be an entrepreneur. They're probably going to be a philanthropist because they need to do something productive. They need to do something worthwhile, and they'll usually be known for it. So once again, you want to feed your moon. You know, don't be lazy if you are a Capricorn moon or you have a moon in the 10th house. And when I say don't be lazy, by the way, that I want to kind of caution that, because one thing about Capricorn is they tend to always think they're lazy, or, you know, enough is never enough. You know, it's like push, 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 push. That mountain goat climbing to the top of the mountain. And so on one hand, when I say don't be lazy, I guess I really mean it if you're really being lazy. But give yourself some opportunity to take a rest as you're going up that mountain. You don't need to push, push, push all the time. And that's what a Capricorn moon often will do, or other planets in Capricorn. They're like, got to get going, got to get over this peak, got to get up to the top. And there's always going to be, by the way, another peak. There's always going to be another mountain to climb because they want that challenge. In a sense, they're like Aries. Aries is fire cardinal, right? Cardinal fire. So Aries wants a challenge too. But Capricorns is a slightly different version of it, but they're both cardinal signs. And so there's always going to be something else, another mountain to climb. But that's the moon in Capricorn or in the 10th house. Now, as we move to the moon in Aquarius, the 11th house, well, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, the planet of individuality, breaking the rules, doing something different, finding a new way. You know, literally, I love the example of they don't live in a universe with boxes. They don't want any boxes in the universe. It's not just a matter of I'm going to color outside the lines or I'm going to, you know, think outside the box. I don't want to live in a universe with boxes. Aquarius is always looking about how to push the limits. This is the sign of friendship. It's fixed, by the way. So they don't come any more stubborn, mentally stubborn, than Aquarius, even though we're talking about the moon and emotional expression. And more than anything else, whenever you're dealing with an air moon, you're dealing with people who think through their emotions. And I can tell you from personal experience, you ask an air moon, what are you feeling? They're going to tell you what they're thinking. And unless you point that out to them, they're not even going to know the difference. This is what I think. And it's like, ask them how they feel. They may not even know how they feel because it's so intermingled with their thoughts, right? Now, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but see, that would be true too for somebody that has Mercury sitting next to their moon, or Mercury, the planet of communication. If that Mercury is sitting either in a positive or kind of a challenging aspect to the moon, you've got a person, they're thinking through their emotions, and maybe they can't separate out thoughts from feelings. They're different, but you may have a hard time convincing them. But Aquarius is an air sign, so it's very communicative. Raven Caldera calls this one the dance with society. And why? Because Aquarius is all about, I want to belong, but I want to belong to people that, or to a group of people that are like me. But one of their main characteristics is being a rebel and being different, being a revolutionary. So how do you get all these rebels and revolutionaries all together, right? So even though it's a sign of friendship and it's a sign of being comrades, you know, a sign of being together and associated together, you've got this rebellious spirit in Aquarius and in the 11th house. The 11th house, by the way, is considered to be the house of friendship and the house of associates. And one thing I love about that 11th house is these are the people that we choose to spend time with. They're not the family that we were born into. They're not the coworkers that we may not have a choice about. These are the people we choose to spend our time with, that to associate with. These are the groups that we join, or, you know, where we volunteer, and the people that generally we say they're like me, or we share a goal. The 11th house is also about the future. So oftentimes our friends represent where we think we're going. And by the way, that is one of my big deals. I think we become like the people we hang out with. So think about your friends. Think about the associations you belong to. Think about, you know, whether that's a church or an association or an advocacy group or a knitting group or whatever it is. You become like the people you hang out with. It's your future. So do those people represent what you want your future to look like? Are they pulling you upwards? Are they pulling you out of yourself? Are they, you know, what's their influence on you? This dance with society. You know, Aquarius, one of the lines I hear too are, where are my people? Because we want a cause. We want something to back up. We want something to be involved with. You know, these are our friends. These are our, you know, colleagues. They're our associates. So if you have a moon in Aquarius, you know, you want a cause to believe in. You know, you want to, you know what, you want to fight for equality. I mean, that's a big deal with Aquarius. You want to believe that everybody has equal chances at everything in life. So if it's in the 11th house, if it's in Aquarius, you know, some of the good bets for how do you feed that moon, you want to hang out with your friends for one thing. You want to build relationships, you know, cultivate friendships and associations. You know, maybe they're not even friends, maybe they're associates, but you want to be included in a group, but you want that group to give you a lot of freedom, because freedom is a word for Aquarius. And you have to know, though, within yourself, with Aquarius, I would say there's almost a line that you never want to cross. And so with Aquarius, it's like, you know, how much to be the rebel, how much to be the revolutionary. And when I belong to a particular group, like, you know, tell me your rules, tell me your guidelines, tell me what your mission and your purpose is, and how far will I go in terms of changing myself, revising myself, or maybe like kind of hiding myself to be a part of your group. I mean, that's one of the things, by the way, we always think about Aquarius in our charts, is that's where we're really looking at, I want to belong, but what does it take to belong to a group? What does it take? Do I have to change myself? You know, and how much am I willing to change myself? How much am I willing to deny something within myself just to make sure that I can belong to the group and be part of you? And I'll tell you, I do have an Aquarian moon, and I feel like I do have a history of joining groups or being involved with groups. And eventually, you know, I leave because there's always something that just so rubs me wrong. You know, that I just go, no, I just can't believe this, you know, and I may submit for a while, you know, and I have, especially I would say in groups that were spiritual, and I submit and I go, finally, I just go, no, this isn't true for me. I can't go along with this. And, you know, this didn't work for me. I'll usually try it, but eventually I reach that breaking point, the line that I will not cross, so to speak. And it's like, I want you to like me. I want you to love me. I want to belong to this group. But you know what? I can't. And I just recognize within myself that is a pattern, definitely a pattern. So if you're an Aquarian moon, just recognize that. You want to belong, but you also, there are things within yourself, there's an integrity level. There are things within yourself that you go, but at this is the line I won't cross. So if you've got that moon in the 11th house, it's about friends and groups and organizations and spending time with people of like mind. It's about living in your future, so to speak, creating your future on a very conscious level. Okay, now the very last house is the 12th house. It's the moon in Pisces. Now, as the last sign of the zodiac, and the last house, we often find that it can be a collective. You know, like a Pisces moon sometimes can act like any other moon. A person with a sun in Pisces can act like any other sign. And I kind of think it's because they somehow intuitively know or feel the energy of all the signs that came before them. So in some ways, you know, them being a fish swimming, you know, up or down, but Pisces very much can be like that fish. It's slippery. It's hard to get your hands on it, you know, to hold it down. And why? Maybe because it does reflect a lot of the other signs. But a moon in Pisces, this is water. This is the ultimate of being impressionable and receptive and sensitive and psychic, imaginative and creative. And Raven Caldera calls this moon the journey toward and away from reality. Because this is the sign, I mean, I often think of mermaids with moons in, you know, Pisces, because they're creatures of a whole other realm. And yes, maybe you see them walking on the earth temporarily, but a lot of times they're going to dive right back into the ocean and you're not going to see them. But a Pisces moon, a moon in the 12th house, wants to believe in something bigger than themselves, whether it's that ocean or whether it's that cosmic oneness. They want to belong to that. They don't want to be held by a material universe that seems to have boundaries and limits. They tend to be escape artists. They know how to escape really easily. And we've all experienced this either in ourselves or with other people. You know, sometimes you're in a conversation or you're at a party or you're in a room or whatever, and you look at somebody's eyes and you know they're not even there. Well, that's typical of a Pisces moon. They can escape right into themselves, into their daydreams, into their fantasies, or whatever else it is. Maybe they're halfway around the world thinking about, you know, what's going on in a war, or what's going on in a situation. They're great at daydreaming. They're great at escaping, which, by the way, is personal opinion, I think, which is why Pisces, depending on, you know, how many planets you have in Pisces or if you have a Pisces moon, you have to be very careful of the kinds of external escapes that you expose yourself to, like even movies. Do you know, they tend to be the one, they'll go to a movie and something really, really sticks with them, positive or negative. You know, the stories that you read, that you listen to. But when I say be very careful, I'm talking about alcohol and drugs and anything that changes, you know, allows you to escape your consciousness. Now, this could even be something like meditation or hypnotism, and I'm not putting those in a negative category. I'm just saying be aware of the ways that you find to escape the material universe, because you're very, very vulnerable. You're very impressionable. So I think Pisces moons, people with planets or the moon in the 12th house, they have to be more aware than other people of what they're exposing themselves to, because they kind of just take it on. You know, they absorb the energy of other people. Now, that being said, I think we need very good boundaries. I think everybody does. But I don't, I mean, I kind of resist the idea that we have to see the world as toxic or people as toxic. And oh my gosh, I have to defend myself. I'm not safe here. That kind of thing. I think it's more just a matter of being aware and knowing, like, when enough is enough. If you're a very impressionable person, like noise or any kind of energy, just go, you know, yeah, I need to take a break. But not this, I'm a, you know, what did they call it? A shrinking violet? Oh, I'm so, you know, I'm so vulnerable. I'm so sensitive. You know, I think we should kind of resist that, because Pisces are a lot stronger than you may think. And we can create boundaries, or we can actively, consciously choose the way we escape or the way we look at the material universe. The other thing about a Pisces moon you have to watch is that the vulnerability or the attraction of sacrifice. You know, these are the ultimate martyrs, the sacrificers that will just do anything for other people. But some of the more positive ways that we look at, how do you feed that Pisces moon? Well, think about it. They want imagination. They want creativity. They want to daydream. So watching a really positive movie, reading a very positive story, you know, looking at something going on in the world that is very positive is a wonderful thing for them, because they love to consider utopian ideas, you know, and politics and that kind of thing. Now, when I say politics, I'm talking about utopian politics, not most of the time what we really see going on. But they want to believe those things are possible. You know, they want to see that anything is possible in the world. But they do dance with boundaries back and forth. And like I said, we have to really watch being too impressionable. But reading poetry, listening to music, doing photography, watching movies, those are all very Piscean things. Also facilitating healing. And the reason I'm phrasing it that way is because I think we kind of make a mistake when we talk about we are a healer. Now, I know that that's a real strong statement, and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but I'm saying I personally believe most people heal themselves. But we can serve as facilitators. We can help people do that, or we can bring them into the conditions where that's going to happen. But you know how that works, people. I mean, truthfully, if somebody doesn't want to be healed or if somebody doesn't want to change something, they're not going to do it. But Pisces is really good at having, in a sense, alternative. Like, you know, those they're the ones that are going to be in the alternative modalities. They're going to be into the oils and you know, different things like that, the stones, all kinds of alternative, you know, modalities for healing yourself. They're support people. They love doing healing work. They love doing selfless service, very much like their opposite sign, Virgo. So the thing about a Pisces moon or a moon in the 12th, though, is giving cleanly without being superior to the person they're assisting or without sacrificing. You know, being a mentor, kind of taking a page from Capricorn and saying, I can be a mentor. I can show you how to do this. They're good with prayer and meditation and spiritual rituals. So people with that moon in that 12th house, it is oftentimes about releasing kind of the limitations of the physical world, being a citizen of the world, volunteering, being a part of something bigger than yourself. And they love to go on retreats. You know, that is a big thing for Pisces moons, going on a retreat, you know, retreating from the world and learning something new, you know, just being in a different space. All right, so now we covered all those moons, and it looks like we do have a few minutes left. I want to talk about aspects to those other planets. Now, we can't go into this in any depth, but I just want you to think about it. Once again, a moon that's all on its own, you know, just hanging out, yeah, it's probably just taking on the characteristics of the sign and the house that it's in. But let's say it's sitting next to the sun. Well, the sun has to do with ego. And remember, too, the moon naturally rules Cancer, but the sun rules Leo. And so if you've got a moon that is sitting next to the sun, so that Cancer energy of the moon is already going to be receptive, right? It's going to soak it all in. Well, the sun is about ego. So if you find that combination, now the person may not be a Leo, by the way, but the sun rules Leo. So there is this sense that a person with a moon sitting next to the sun, they're much more tied into their individuality and who they think of as themselves. You know, they may talk a lot about being significant, or they may talk a lot about being an individual or being themselves, because to them, those two things are blended. They come together. Now, of course, if it's a conjunction, it's very likely they're born either right before the new moon or they're born on a new moon, because the sun and moon are together. And they're very different, by the way, if that moon isn't quite caught up to the sun. So if they're at the very, very end of a lunar cycle, you're going to see a different person. Now, we're not even going to go in there, but we could, you know, in another one. And I know I've talked a lot about those moon phases. But here again, if the sun is involved, and remember too, the aspects, it's not just a conjunction. It can be a square. It can be a trine. Squares are conflicts. If you have a sun square your moon, then you may have a really difficult time, because your identity is one thing and your emotions are something else, and you're switching back and forth, because that's usually what happens with a square. You know, it's two cars sitting at a four-way stop, and we switch back and forth. So that person may feel like they're switching back and forth between the demands of their sun and the demands of their moon. If it's in opposition, then they're trying to do a balancing act between the two. You know, it's an easier kind of energy, even though it's a challenge. And a trine or a sextile, those are positive. Those are really supportive. So those people, you know, it's in the same element. Like, you know, that's where you have all water, you have all fire. So that's really easy when the sun and the moon are in that kind of an aspect. And here again, I know I'm going through these really quickly, but Mercury, we talked a little bit about that. If you have a moon near Mercury, what are you doing? Your emotions are intermingled with your thoughts and your beliefs and your ideas. You know, that is your emotional expression. I am my ideas. I am what I say. So if you criticize the way I talk, if you criticize something I think or something I wrote, I'm going to take it very, very personally. You know, because I am that. Mercury and the emotions, they're together. Mercury and the moon. Or, and there again, is it a challenge like a square in opposition? Or is it really flowing together? If it's flowing, maybe this person is a really good writer, a really good speaker, and they will write their emotions. You know, the two go together. And Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo, right? So there again, if somebody says, I'm an honorary Gemini moon, maybe what they mean is that Mercury is sitting right next to their moon. Mercury is controlling their moon. I mean, it could be that their moon is in the third house or the sixth house, but it could also just be that Mercury is there. You know, people that, you know, and I'm not sure that the crowd that you run with says those kinds of things, but you'll hear it. And the next time somebody says, I'm an honorary, try to think about what they're really saying. So what if the moon is near Venus? Okay, well, this is a person, they tend to be a little bit softer, pleasure seeking, they're sensual, they're concerned about physical beauty and attractiveness. They tend to be a little more romantic and artistic and passionate. Venus rules Taurus and Libra. Maybe money is a really big thing to them. You know, they need to feel safe. They need to feel secure. Okay, what about the moon sitting next to Mars? Well, Mars is, you know, it's that willfulness, courage, and being bold and brave and adventurous and action-oriented. So you've got a moon sitting next to Mars. That's honorary Aries for sure, because Mars rules Aries. So that's a person, you know, maybe you've got this really kind of soft moon or what you thought was a really soft moon, and all of a sudden they're coming out really bold. They're very competitive. They're outgoing and direct, and maybe they're impulsive. That's the effect of Mars with the moon. Jupiter, that makes, you know, it tends to show itself as being generous and kind and happy and buoyant. This is the kind of person that even if they're depressed, even if something gets them down, not for long, because that Jupiter is going to come back and expand and say, hey, there's, you know, puppy in this manure, you know, or a horse in this manure. There's something going on. I'm never going to believe that it's negative. That's the Jupiter influence. Jupiter rules Sagittarius. Now, Saturn, we talked a little bit about that one, too. That person tends to be serious and responsible. Maybe they're a little shy, maybe a little inhibited. Maybe they're a little cautious or reserved, that kind of thing with their emotional expression, because they're practical. Now, with Saturn, though, it really can go a couple of different ways. Sometimes it is the shyness or being very cautious, maybe being inhibited, but it can also just be somebody who's very, very responsible, very authoritative with their emotions. They feel good. I know who I am. This is the way it goes. I'm not backing down. Uranus is, remember, that's the planet of breaking all the rules. So this person is inventive and high strung. Often, literally, they're a little bit nervous and patient. They're aligned with freedom. You know, they want excitement. They want stimulation. So this is the person, boy, their emotions are all over the place. Then we've got Neptune, and I know I've only got a minute left, so I'm going to go through this quickly, and I realize I have a little more material. Maybe we will do something else on another show, but I just wanted to give you a flavor of this. Neptune, remember, you identify strongly with feelings and everything sensitive and psychic and impressionable, you know, spiritual, you know, those people, that's kind of double dose of moon, truthfully, to have the moon near Neptune or being influenced by it, you know, living in your own little bubble. Now, Pluto, those people tend to have very cathartic experiences. Think about it. Pluto's a transformer. So maybe we're obsessive, we're compulsive, we're profound. Nothing is superficial. We feel everything very, very deeply. So that's what you're going to find with Pluto. And like I said, a lot of times those people have some amazing and dramatic experiences. So that's where we're going to leave that. Like I said, I have a little more material. We'll do it in another show and give you some examples of the way the moon operates in people's charts. It's really fun. I had a couple of examples, Amelia Earhart and Carl Jung and Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana. And so we'll look at their moons in another show. But thank you guys for, it's so much fun to be back with you today. So thanks for all your comments in the chat room and thanks for being here. You will find me on 12listen.com. So because I'm anxious to get back to work. So if there's a time that you want to talk to me and you don't see me as available, please just, you know, say, hey, I want to schedule a call, or just tell me, you know, when you're going to be available, and I'll do my best to be there for you. Okay. All right. So thanks for joining me. Thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel, for everything that he does. Please stay tuned because it's Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. This is CA signing out. So glad to be back. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.